Welcome back. You're watching StockWatch with me, Bright Khumalo, tackling your stock-related questions this evening as well. Akem Nguni from Benguela Global Fund Managers and Thamsanqa Netta from Shiloh Capital. Send those questions via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag StockWatch. Gentlemen, welcome to StockWatch. I'll start with you, Mr. Nguni. How did the local markets close? We'll jump into the US just now. I just need a market wrap of, you know, how we traded today.
Yeah, I mean, our market was just over 0.5% down. I think we saw a second day of pressure, particularly in the resources or the metals and mining sector.
Yes.
And I think today it was led predominantly by the gold counters. They were under some pressure. I think there is a sense that the actual global economy would come under pressure, and we'll see inflation in the next few quarters. And I think that view is particularly drawn from the fact that the Fed chairman has said that he is fully committed to bring inflation under control. So it means he'll do anything possible to basically bring that inflation. So I think we are starting to see stocks that were benefiting from commodities starting to come under pressure predominantly because of recession fears.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because, I mean, as South Africa, that's where, you know, all of our good performance has been coming from in the past 3 years or so. So it's pretty sad to hear that type of narrative. Thamsanqa, can you give us a wrap of, you know, how are we looking now at open in the U.S.? I mean, yesterday we bumbled between, you know, gains and losses and eventually closed in the red. And I was hoping for at least another second day of green this week.
volatility. Everything is coming down to how asset managers are viewing the future and rebalancing their portfolios based on the Fed's commitment to continued interest rate hikes. So I think we're all subject to revaluations. Stocks will be subject to revaluations, portfolio adjustments, especially now that bonds are looking like they're going to start being meaningful again. So in our view, keep watching the VIX. It will have a real reflection of what's happening around the world, specifically in the U.S. And having such high interest rates, almost 9%, is unprecedented. We had a governor here in South Africa, Mr. Stiles, Dr. Stiles, who at one point wanted interest rates to be 25% because of such high inflation numbers. So we've got to think through what the Fed is going to do and how aggressive they'll be in correcting that inflation at the risk of a recession.
Yeah, we need to remove these glasses and put on our goggles, you know, the economics goggles, and see what happened between 1975 and 1985. And, you know, how Paul Volcker obviously managed that whole situation and how, you know, the traditional 60-40 portfolio performed. Because, I mean, it's going to be telling of, you know, how one should balance, especially Reg 28 type investments going forward from here on. Let's jump into, you know, the show today. We've got a question on, this is on email from Sundir, who says, good evening. Thanks for a great show. Is Coronation a buy at current price? I have about 500K to invest. And which three stocks are good to invest in long term? I mean, so he's asking about Coronation. That's the first question. We'll jump into the other ones. Mr. Nguni?
Yeah, look, I think Coronation is a good business. I mean, I think it's probably reached its own market penetration ceiling to some extent. So it's gained significant market share over time, but it's reached a point where it's probably would benefit more from market movement. And having said that, I think in the short term, there might be a lot of pressure on the stock because their assets, their underlying assets would move with the market, and their revenues and their profits and dividends are driven by the same. So I would certainly think that long term as a investment business, it's one of the best investment businesses in the country. And certainly, I think it would be a buy, in my opinion, long term.
Okay, and you, Thamsanqa, do you have any varying thoughts on Coronation and maybe the
Slightly.
asset management space in general. I mean, some of these businesses are trading at, I don't know, man, forward PEs of, between 4 and 7, dividend yields north of 13%. I haven't heard this since I started following markets. The last time I saw such dividend yields were 2010. That's how far
Yeah.
back you have to go.
So I agree in that it's a good business, well run. It's a good dividend paying stock. But if I'm to pick, I'd pick its competitor, 91.
Why
They
91?
have a they've got a broader reach. They've got broader scope. They can provide more products to more people. They can manage more money for more people. So I agree with Zwelakhe in the sense that Coronation needs to expand further than where it is now to begin to bring in new clients, new institutional money, and so forth. And 91 is already there. So I think in that sense, the blue ocean is much larger for 91 than it is for Coronation. But as Coronation on its own, as a stock, as a dividend-paying stock at that, it's a well-run business, and I would say buy it.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know how the Africa business has done, considering that, Africa is nowhere in the map in terms of growth in that period that they've been, making the, growing their footprint in Africa, unfortunately. Yeah, I don't know, the opportunity cost has been very expensive, to say the least. So three stocks. Don't explain too much, Tamsang. Like three stocks, if, had to split it on top of Coronation, I guess.
Renogen, Purple, and Tesla.
Okay, that's a high octane. We need some balance here, Mr. Mguni. That's a high octane portfolio right there.
All right, remove Tesla, put Nike.
No, keep Tesla. I like all of those. I'm not
Okay.
changing your ideas. yes.
From my side, I mean, on the global side, I'd probably take a Microsoft on one side.
Yeah.
And I think in SA, I'd still take a ShopRite and I'd still take a Mediclinic. I think more for safety rather than the
So you're running for safety.
octane.
We're trying to put it at 95 here. We've got some interesting questions, so let's jump into the Twitter space. We've got a question from Paolo, which we couldn't answer on Tuesday, and I see he sent it again. He says, "What's the panel's view on Montauk Renewables for a 10 to 15 year view?" Tamsang, Montauk Renewables, I mean, do you follow this company? It's a South African listed company. I think they make bioenergy from landfills, and it's so technically complicated, I just put it in my too hard pile.
So, no, I don't follow it, but I do follow the tech. The
Yes.
downside with that technology is firstly the regulation, and then secondly the market for the biogas or the biofuels that come from there. I think that's the two really major issues they'll face. As a technology, it's a brilliant technology, but I wouldn't put my money there given that the market is not ready to consume the products they are outputting at the scale required for the stock to be meaningful.
Okay, and I mean, I've been following it since it's unbundling from its holding company yet, which is, yeah, it's escaping me now. It's only gone up, and I don't know, man. Are we missing something here as well, Aki?
No, look, I don't follow the stock, and I certainly agree with Tammy that their product, the demand for their product, I mean, requires a lot more regulation to be embedded into, for example, in the blending rate for biofuels. But I do think that the cost of production may be close to half of probably other fuels, and that may be an advantage at a time when the fuels are at a high cost. So they may benefit in the short term from a fact that they are a biological or their fossil competitors
Yes.
may be pricing a lot more, and they may benefit from a higher price as a result on their side.
Yeah, no, interesting. Pricing has been very interesting, especially considering, the rerouting if there is such a word, for gas pipelines in the West. I mean, you know, Canadian listed companies that focus on gas have seen a lot of surge year to date. But let's see, you know, where that takes us. We have a question here from Jabu Mahlang, who says, good day. What's the panel's view on AB InBev, Tamsanqa, from one chemical to the next?
Look, I think AB InBev is a great business, very well run. I think the real question is it now just a big elephant? And it's possible. So I think AB InBev is where Microsoft was in the late 90s and early 2000s. Big business, but not moving anywhere. It's becoming like an annuity income stock, so it's becoming a bond. It now comes down to how the management finds new growth areas, introduces new products, which will be desired by new consumers. And I think that's where they will really kick a good growth curve. I think targeting the craft beer market is one of the best strategies I think they're trying to do now. And their competitors are also doing the same, like Heineken buying Soweto Gold. So the growth scope is what's the problem. They're a big elephant at this stage, and they need significant market movements to move them forward growth wise. But as a business, as an annuity, it's a brilliant business.
Yeah, and I mean they still got that towering you know, debt in their balance sheet that they've, you know, slowly trying to get rid of, Zwelakhe, and how are they doing in that front?
You should know by now that I hate companies that are highly indebted. So I think this company is, I don't know if I would say it's a good business in terms of the products and the operations, but is it a good business in terms of investment? Is it a good investment?
Yes.
I don't think so. I think there's a lot of financial risk. I mean, they were very smart in terms of rolling over a lot of their debt to very, very far into the future. I think some of them have gone to 2030 or 2035. But
wow.
The concern remains that they've got a lot of debt, and they actually overpaid for the SA breweries. And that will stay with them for a long time, because that intangible or goodwill that is sitting on the balance sheet, it's producing nothing, and the returns will always be under pressure over time.
Interesting, you know, observations on AB InBev. I'll keep thinking about those ones, because maybe there's an investment case there that we're not seeing, an investment angle that we're not seeing, because it's a business we understand really well. We have a question on Twitter, which I briefed you guys earlier. This one says, good evening. I'd like to know the panel's view on Meta platforms for a 3 to 5 year view. Thank you very much. Hashtag Stockwatch. Tamsanqa, this is your realm. Meta, hot or not?
So I think, and I've taken some time to think about this, I think the real problem Meta has will always be regulatory. They are dealing with big data, and especially with the Facebook and WhatsApp bits. Instagram, maybe the facial recognition side is an issue, but WhatsApp and Facebook have deep data on a lot of people across the globe. And as a result, these companies are now, in essence, competing with governments. And I think as a result of that, there's going to be a lot of headwinds regulatory. They've recently lost their COO, Sheryl Sandberg, which is also not a great indication of the market, because you'd assume she was going to take over at some point. And I think they're going to have to do a lot to navigate away from the regulatory hurdles that the governments are going to impose on them, especially around security, what's shared on the platform, what they do with the information, what happens if they're hacked. And if you just think about what the average person says and uses WhatsApp for every day, and all that data is with them, it begins to paint a very scary picture. So I think over the next couple of years, depending on American politics largely, but over the next couple of years, I think there'll be a lot of headwinds from it.
Yeah, I mean, you say, I like that, you know, comment that you say about Sheryl Sandberg, that she, you know, she's she was seen as someone who's going to take over the company. I mean, she was already the face of Facebook as the COO, and she ran the ops and the business. So I don't know, man. She spent 17 years doing that, and $2 billion or whatever, how much she, you know, she accumulated in that period. Get off her purse, okay? Get off her pockets. Let her live.
Yeah,
let her spend some time with her money. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, unfortunately, she was being touted as being a senator or having a path to some meaningful government role. And now, because of all these scandals, that has gone away. That opportunity
she's burned out, man.
Well, in theory, has gone away. America's a brave new world. But I think there's a lot of issues that Zuckerberg and his team are going to face over the next 3 to 5 years, in our view.
Yeah, and do you share the same sentiments, Mr. Mnguni, or you're bullish at these levels? I mean, this company is down close to 60% from where it was. I think it was February before COVID. So I don't know, man. It looks like a stinker, but I don't know. It's starting to look attractive at some level as an investment.
No, I think there is a concern around the privacy issues and how it would impact on the advertisers' appetite to use their platform. There's significant...
But the regulatory issues, I don't know. I think that's a throwaway comment because, I mean, all of them are facing the same regulatory issues. Whether it's AWS, whether it's Microsoft, they're all facing the same regulatory issues, getting fines left, right, and center. especially in Europe. I mean, even if it's anti-competitive behavior, there's something regulatory happening in each and every one of these top 10 big tech companies.
But those regulatory issues have different impacts on the companies. I mean, the likes of Microsoft have been through those privacy issues a long time ago. And the likes of the social media companies are only going through that now. And the impact, or at least the difference, is that the social media, they actually need those profiles for them to be able to profile you for a marketer, and that is a privacy issue. So it could impact on their ability to generate revenue or generate growth. So I think that is the first difference. I think the second thing is that I tend to find that Mark Zuckerberg comes across as arrogant. I mean, he is to trivialize the issues, where especially privacy issues, he tends to trivialize them, and I think that kind of thing can create a problem for the business in the long term, because the regulators will focus on them and keep coming back for them. And certainly Europe is ahead of the curve in terms of regulation. Even if the US is behind the curve, Europe will certainly step in and put them under pressure.
Yeah, that's an interesting one on Facebook. Then, but I mean, this is a company that has over 12 million unique advertisers, which are mostly, you know, small businesses that have no other place to go to reach their people that they're trying to market to. So what's the alternative? Give us the alternative, you know, where to put our cash if I wanted to be in the advertising space.
So there are two things that might happen. The rate of advertising in the communications might have to increase for them to try and satisfy the demands from the advertisers. On the other side, it's going to be a hit and miss kind of advertising now. If you put stringent privacy controls, it's going to be a hit and miss. You're not going to be able to profile customers the way you used to. And because of that, there might be a inclination to go look at something like a Twitter versus what is happening at the moment. I mean, they are dominant in that space, or go back to Google. But certainly the regulation can impact on the appetite of the advertisers.
Yeah,
alternatively, pay us for our data.
Yeah,
pay the use. The price
will be the issue. What did I want to say? This, I think we can talk about this issue for too long. I think we should move on to other questions. Well, sticking with, you know, offshore, it says here, adding to that, thinking of Mang, which is, I guess, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, perhaps Netflix is ripe for a merger given the abundant competition. Is it worth a punt at these? This is another company that's down about, you know, close to 70%, you know, from its highs. Is it ripe for a merger or acquisition target? I don't know. I don't think so. But, I mean, I'll ask you, Tamsanga. You follow these things very closely.
Yeah, look, there's no amount of zeros that scare in American investment bankers. So whether or not it's ripe for a target, it comes down to the strategy of the acquirer. The issue that Netflix has is the issue everyone has spoken about over the past couple of years, content. They don't have the catalog that Disney does. Disney came on with Disney Plus recently, and the amount of content they have, to the point where the Marvel franchise, Pixar, everything is on their platform. So Netflix has the rails, has the users, but doesn't have the content. So a great content producer, maybe Tencent or the like, if the Chinese government permits, is more likely the kind of company that would buy out a business like that. I think at this stage, their real challenge is they can't compete with content at the same rate as guys like Disney, HBO, who've already got historic content. They're just going to move on to their digital platform.
Yeah. The comment I wanted to say about Twitter, Mr. Mguni, is that they have a share base scheme that's very generous, because if you go back in the last 10 years, it's the only social media company that actually hasn't seen any growth in its stock price. And as a result, these guys are giving out more shares to their staff. And as a result, it's very dilutive to earnings, and you're not seeing any of that being converted into cash in the bank for the business. And it's been very onerous, to say the least, to shareholders. So I wouldn't be running that direction. That's my only issue.
I think you're making a good point, but you have to differentiate the business from the stock.
Yes.
So if you say the dilutions, you're talking about a stock, which I agree with.
Yes.
But if you look at the business, I mean, the rate of advertising on their platform versus the Facebook, it's much lower. Yeah. And all they need to do is to step up the advertising. That could open up things. And maybe under Musk, things could change.
Yeah, and saturation there is not a problem, because you scroll down as compared to, you know, other platforms where you look at stories, etc. Interesting. We have more questions. This one is from Russell, who's asking us about Steinhoff, whether there's still an investment case there. I mean, there's still some well-known, well-kept, well-looked-after brands in that stable. He's wondering whether this is the entry point. I'll start with you, Mr. Mguni. Steinhoff.
I need to ask my lawyer if I can respond to this.
While he texts his lawyer, Tamsanga.
I just think that business has got a long way to basically fix itself.
Yeah.
And I think, the settlements that they got now have given them some reprieve. But I certainly think that to get to becoming an attractive investment, I certainly think that they've got a long way to go.
Yeah, no, with that said, let's jump into our stock picks for the evening. Sorry, Tamsanga, you don't get to speak about Steinhoff. You can have that at the bride.
You still have a lawyer.
You saved me some lawyer fees.
I saved you some lawyer fees. Thank me later. So your stock pick, Tamsanga, for the evening.
Tesla. I like Tesla at these levels.
Around 700.
They are producing, they're delivering. I might wait a little bit more, but I think anything below where they're at now, I think is more a realistic and fair valuation for, I think, a good and growing business.
Interesting. You got the VW CEO saying that, sorry, CFO saying that they're looking to surpass Tesla as soon as 2024, 2025. So we'll be watching that race very quickly, because, you know, I'm necks in, not even hips in or leg in or whatever the equivalent is. and Zolake, what's your stock pick for the evening?
I'll stick with safety. So I'm taking Northrop Grumman again. I think it's a good business in the defense area, and they certainly, in the current environment where we don't know where the economy is going, I think one thing that we know for sure is that the defense budgets in Europe are going to go higher, and I think the rest of the West, and that would probably provide quite an attractive defensive positioning. I mean, at 12 times historic, I don't think it's a bad valuation.
So Northrop Grumman, interesting one, because currently the conversation around gun control in the U.S. But obviously here we're talking about ballistic missiles, not little big machines. Yeah, well, you're getting very political now. It's a stock show, guys. Stick to stocks. And Tesla, thank you very much, gentlemen. Thanks to my guest, Zuela Kemguni from Benguela Global Fund Managers and Thamsan Nganeta from Shiloh Capital. Join Zinati with a Friday edition of Stock Watch. That's tomorrow at 19:30. Have a good evening.